is and maybe stir some thinking about it. I'm sure most of the people in the audience maybe are elders and know a fair bit about what the idea, the biblical idea of eldership is. But let's begin by reading a short passage in the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 5. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. There were elders, self-appointed elders, and they were making a mess of the local churches in Crete. And so Paul had sent Titus to ordain elders in every city, as I appointed thee. Then he gives some qualifications. If any be blameless, husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of profligacy or unruly, for, reading from the King James, for a bishop or an elder must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not violent, not given to filthy lucre, financial gain, lover of hospitality, lover of good men, sober-minded, just, holy, temperate, holding to the faithful word as he has been taught, that he might be able with sound doctrine both to exhort and to refute the opposers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially them of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not to, for filthy lucre. Let's open our time with a word of prayer. God and Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you for this camp. We would pray, Father, that we would have your mind this morning. We would be faithful as we look into the Word of God and proclaim the teaching in it. And we pray, Father, this might be a profitable, helpful time together as we look into the Word of God. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. verse 27, if you like to sit, one on the right hand, one on the left hand, in thy glory, in the kingdom reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the second aspect is the cost of leadership. He says, you don't know what you're asking. Can you be baptized with the same baptism that I will be baptized? Will you suffer in the same way that I'm going to suffer? And there's a cost in leadership. There's a cost in eldership. There's cost of time. There's cost of people just not liking you because you make a decision they just don't like. Or you teach something from the platform that they don't like. Or they have a different view of whatever it may be. And as soon as that happens, very often they go to somebody else and tell them what they think. It'll come to you directly. And there's a cost. There's opposition. There's sometimes weight involved. And elders should be men of conviction, and they should stand on conviction, and they should be loving and kind, and they should be servants, but they need to be men of conviction, men of sacrifice, and they should serve the Lord. And there's a cost involved. The cost of time, of study, cost of time for their families, cost of time invested in other people. There's a cost involved in being a leader and being an elder. If someone wants to be an elder, just so they can go to an elder's meeting and they can make decisions for the assembly one Monday night per month, that's not really what eldership is really all about. You can't really do that. That's not eldership. That's policy making. That's decision making. But that's not eldership. Eldership is being involved in the lives of people, serving them, teaching them, mentoring them, discipling them, hearing their problems, opening the scriptures, spending time with people, comforting people that have lost loved ones, exhorting sometimes those who are causing difficulties. There's a lot of effort, a lot of cost involved in leadership. Then we see the Lord Jesus Christ gives his master principle. Down at verse 43, he says this in verse 43, but so it shall not be among you to have these high positions of authority. And he goes on to say in verse 43, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever would be great among you, if you want to be great, you want to have a great position, he says, should be your servant. Here it says, should be your minister. King James, the idea is should be your servant. And he goes on to say in verse 44, whosoever of you should be the chiefest, should be the servant of all. And then we have the example of the Lord Jesus in verse 45. Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister says earlier than this, he says earlier, he says, choose out from among yourselves six men, in verse 3. Choose out from yourselves six men, full of the Holy Spirit, of wisdom, of good report, that we may appoint over this business. So the local church appointed. In this case, the majority of people were Jewish, but the deacons that were chosen were probably of a Greek background, of a non-Jewish background. They chose out of those men, and the apostles confirmed that. He says that we might appoint over this business. So deacons, it seems, are chosen, are recognized, from out of the local church, and they are appointed by the church. Elders lead the church in the spiritual sphere in the local church, but they're made by the Holy Spirit. Let's turn further to Acts chapter 20. A little different than what we have as far as deacons are concerned. Deacons are chosen by those within the local church, but in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, we read this: take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock of God, over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. It's a very different concept. And so we in local churches, we don't appoint elders. We recognize who God has raised up as elders within the local church. So we often use the language of we recognize elders, those who are doing the work, those who the Holy Spirit has raised up, those who's put in the heart to go and do the work of mentoring, visitation, discipleship, Bible teaching, and those who devote themselves, first of all, to prayer and the ministry of the word. Elders should lead in the local church as you preach and teach. You probably notice in these last two things, I've got to repeat a number of times, preaching and teaching. Take your Bibles with me and turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. When I speak about elders, I teach that elders should have the ability to teach the Bible. They should have a Bible teaching ministry in their local assemblies. Now, not every elder should do that. We have three or four elders. There should be maybe one or two that have a ministry of Bible teaching in your local assembly. When you come to 1 Timothy, first of all, chapter 5, it says that those who labor in the word, ministry in the word, are worth a double honor. But look for a minute at chapter 3 and verse 3. An elder or a bishop should be blameless, a husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, given to hospitality. But then there's this other phrase we have in the King James translation. In the King James, it says, apt to teach. Now, I think that communicates the wrong idea. Apt to teach is like, well, maybe if you're teaching once in a while, you can teach. But the real idea behind the word apt is skillful in teaching. So modern translations will word it in that way. Skillful in teaching. Elders, given a hospitality, should have good behavior, should have all those things, but they should be skillful in teaching. I know elders who have been elders a long time that never teach. They don't ever teach in a year. They invite people to teach, but they don't do the ministry of teaching. I think it's a very important thing. And I think that in the teaching ministry of an elder, you develop what I call spiritual authority. If you don't teach, if you don't teach the Word of God, preach the gospel, involved in the ministry of the teaching of the Word of God, people are not going to go to you when they have questions. If they're not fed by you and taught by you and encouraged by you and you teach doctrine, when it comes time to ask a question to a spiritual leader and they need some counsel, they need answers to questions, they're not going to go to you. They're going to go to whoever it is, maybe someone in another assembly, maybe someone in another state who they know can answer that question because they handle the Word of God well. Elders need to have people within their local church coming to them. That's the way local assemblies are, I think, are built and are designed to be built and structured. Here it says that elders should be excellent, should be skilled in teaching. Turn with me over back to Titus, book of Titus. Teaching takes time. As an elder, elders have busy lives. I understand that. But there should be a burden on the part of elders to teach the Word of God. It's my conviction that no assembly will grow. No assembly will prosper unless there's good, substantial, well thought out, well presented teaching from the Word of God. And it's just a very important thing within the church, within the local church. Look with me at Titus chapter 1. Look at the emphasis. Look at the emphasis in Titus. There's so much emphasis on teaching concerning the elders that Baptist pastors will come to the conclusion that this is about them. This is solely about the one pastor because there's so much here about teaching. Notice what he says in verse 9, holding fast to the faithful word that has been taught to them. Now that's an interesting phrase. We see elders here who are mentored, who are taught. Someone else spent time teaching them. Maybe it was in a public setting, maybe it was in a private setting. But Paul writes here now, he says, hold fast to the word that was taught to you. We should be teaching young elders. We should be spending time with young elders or future elders, those who are younger and not recognized yet, but they've got those who trouble the believers, those who bring in false doctrine, those who bring in doctrine that is unhealthy. Sometimes it's not out and out false doctrine, but sometimes it's unhealthy for the body of Christ. It's divisive to the body of Christ. He goes on to say in verse 10, there are those many that are unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially them of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped,